Street View Podcast is part of the Dallas Public Library's Homeless Engagement Initiative, dedicated to increasing community awareness of issues related to homelessness. The opinions expressed are solely those of the individuals and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Dallas Public Library or the City of Dallas.
How do you want to see it? What do you want to do? You got it all figured out, straight from your cubicle. Life's a musical, maybe a carousel. How do you want to see it? What do you want to do? Perception starts with selection. The same streets you walk on, they carry their own view. This is Street View.
Our Father who art in heaven, most gracious and beautiful thing there is on this planet. Thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for yesterday. Thank you for tomorrow. You said you had a hope in the future for those who really believe, so I came with my head bowed down, and I came asking for everybody. We ask for the shed of love, just like the shed of blood. We ask to be poked with humility and charity, just like one man was poked in the side or somebody got beat up in front of us when we didn't do anything. We ask for you to just be subtle in our lives. Get close. Help us to help ourselves by engaging you. Appreciate you. We love you. We thank you for all that is and all that has been and ever will be. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. What's happening, family? You're now rocking with the podcast host, Rashad Anthony Dickerson. I'm here, and I can't say I'm here to stay this time, honestly. To be honest with you guys, this is bittersweet in a sense because this is the last podcast here on the Street View Podcast. At the Dallas Public Library. It's been a journey. It's been a magnanimous journey. You dig? One with great resilience. Written on the board. Been up there since we started. One with great resilience and one with a lot of dignity and a lot of strength. I'm looking at the individuals who made this thing flow. You know, I got Jasmine, Africa Walla Kallenberg, in the building.
We're gonna
She got some interesting stuff going on. Thanks for being on the show. We have Miss Antoinette Carey Spriggs. Thank you for coming on the show.
It's always a pleasure.
Of course, we cannot do this without you, man. You steer this thing. Thank you, Calvin Ryan.
Been here since day one.
And you've been faithful and resilient, bro. Thank you. I wanted to talk today about a lot of stuff and a lot of things, so I'm going to go ahead and move kind of fast on this. I'm addressing a couple of different peoples here. Right now, I'm going to go ahead and offend some people, step on some toes. This is my last show, y'all. So I'm going out to speak to Christians. I been having some time, some thinking, and some you know, I've been told some things in my ear. I've been told some things in my own secret closet, and I'm ready to just kind of reveal that. So here's the show. You dig? This is life. That's what this show is. This is life. Now, a couple of shows back, I said I had graduated from being homeless to being the public. And for individuals who are the public, you know, that's a wide and vast scope of individual to be in. You know, everybody's got their own thing going, you know, like willpower. This has been on my mindset. The will of a man sometimes crosses over into the will of another man. Christians, if you understand dominion, you've all been given a dominion. You've been given a dominion, a power over something. You have a power over your own perspective. That's what we fight for. That's what when we vote, what do? We usher up our perspective. This is what we have possession of. This is who we are outside of the physical shell. I know I'm deep, y'all. I'm coming to you. I'm swimming. I'm paddling. Let me get there. So you've got your own perspective. And then somebody else's willpower intercedes or crosses over your boundaries. We live like that every day. You know, when I was homeless, I had this one particular scripture stuck in my head. It says, "The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor hear not rebuke." And I would think on this scripture, this would be in my mind, this would be in my soul as I walked daily, as I found somewhere to lay down at night. And so I'm going to ask Jasmine and Antoinette and Ryan, I'm going to ask you, what's your interpretation of that thing, of that scripture? The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor hear not a rebuke. Jasmine?
I have no idea what that means.
Okay, let's go on, Antoinette.
It means that a person is only worth what they consider to be riches and what they invest in.
Good.
And maybe if it's the one I'm thinking of, I think it might also mean something to the effect of like a rich man, you know, if you have a lot of money and you, so let's say you literally get kidnapped, you could ransom your life with your money. But if you're a poor man, nobody's going to come after you because you ain't got nothing anybody wants.
That's a good one too. And that was my first thought.
Yeah.
When I look at this scripture, I think the ransom of a man's life are his riches.
So he's being held hostage by his own wealth.
But the poor hear not rebuke. The ransom of a man's life or his riches, meaning the things that you have, the things, they make up what your life is about. You're responsible for them. Your life is, in order to have those things, you have to continue to be responsible in order to have it. For instance, when I get home from a long day of work, and I finally lay down in my bed, and I look around my room, and I can play my game, or I can sit in my AC, or eat my little honey buns and my snack cakes, I don't think about that the entire week as I'm working and I have to turn around and give up, you know, however much money I have to give to this landlord. My life, the ransom of my comfy bed and my AC, my life is wrapped up in that. I have to be responsible for those things. But when I was poor, I didn't hear the rebuke, meaning I didn't understand that. I didn't understand that I needed to be responsible in order to have these things. So I said, when we started, that this is life. This is what I've been experiencing. This is two parts. It's kind of funny because I've been doing this Tai Chi thing. It's two parts to this if you're a Christian. Okay? You with me, Jack?
I'm with you.
The top half of this is what? I need to look out for my brothers. I need to bear one another's burdens. I need to be one of those individuals who can take care of other individual situations and circumstances. That humility part that we've been trying to teach since we started the podcast, right? Then there's the bottom half. I need to be a good steward over what I have. I need to be the individual who's taking care of my stuff and providing myself with what's necessary, meaning my responsibilities being taken care of so I can keep what I have. So we got two parts to this thing that we've been living for a long time. This is life. And that's very difficult to do when you're being influenced or when you're not. You're trying to take care of one part and not trying to take care of the other part. For instance, a good friend of mine, colleague of mine, has been working here at the library. What? How many years you been working here, Jasmine?
8.5
8.5 Now, Jasmine is getting ready to leave the library. You guys, this is the reason why this is the last podcast. And this is, we're not going to make this a boo-hoo. We're not going to sigh. We're not going to cry.
You speak dig? For yourself, Rashad.
If you want to come get some cake or something, you dig, man, you know. We could do all of that, what, in August?
August 6th.
August 6th. But Jasmine's not going to be here anymore. So here's my question. How you going to do the both? How you going to handle both halves of that thing of life? Being able to be a good steward over the things that you have, but you're not going to be working.
Well, I have a husband, so I made one good decision in life. Well, to me, I feel like that's part of the reason I made the decision to leave was so that I could take better care of the people in my life.
Right.
So that I can be a better wife, so I can be a better mom instead of being completely 200% absorbed in my career. And an amazing career it's been so far, and it doesn't have to end. It's just sort of on break. I'll be on extended leave is how I'm kind of thinking of it, because right. Who knows what the future holds. But I feel like the mental and emotional commitment I have to this work, which is so important to me,
yes.
And has been so ingrained in my everything, that makes me not the best mom that I could be. I feel like when I go home, I don't want to be absorbed
in work,
which before I was a mom, that's what I lived and breathed for, which is why we were able to accomplish things like this podcast and I think do it so well. But I want to be the same caliber of librarian that I've been for the library. I want to be that same caliber of mom to Sammy.
So it's funny because yesterday I was saying, you know, you're not going to be a librarian. She was like, yo, I'm still a librarian, whether I'm working or active or not. I was like, okay.
Yes, that is the benefit of the master's in library science. I am a librarian with that, regardless of whether I'm getting paid to do that or not. Okay. I'll always be a librarian.
It's kind of like if you become a black belt in a certain martial art, you never stop being a black belt, no matter which dojo you're at.
Exactly. Well, and I use the example of being a writer. You're a writer.
Yeah.
You're a writer, regardless of whether, honestly, even if you haven't published something.
it's all suggestive of what you guys were telling me about the podcast. Remember, I wanted to get, you know, out of the podcast game and go my way. And it was like, nah, you can still exemplify and represent the homeless, even though you're not homeless. And to me, it's been a big, big battle because I know a couple of things. I've seen some things with the homeless community. I was hearing a lot. Seeing some old friends, you know, the guys were getting jumped in front of the library overnight, like a lot of homeless individuals.
There's an increase in people sleeping on the plaza, so I'm sure that was part of it.
Right, and it was getting kind of tough, you know, and I actually got to witness at West End, a friend of mine, I don't know if I ever talked about Mike on a podcast, Mike Brown, maybe.
Maybe once.
But, you know, I see dude, I jump off the bus, and I see him sitting there, his bag's open, his laptop's there. And, you know, I'm talking to him. It's my first day at work. So I'm getting ready to go to work. Friend of mine, you know, I'm talking to him. Some young guy comes by. He says, yo, you still want to throw them hands? You know, telling that to my partner. So I kind of backed up. Was like, Mike, first day at work, man. This dude looked, you know, he looked kind of like, you know, you can pluck him. I'm finna go this way. Then he gets around to like five or six dudes. And I'm like, okay, we need to be kind of careful about this situation. What's going on here? So, you know, two or three dudes intimidate him while the other guy, the short guy, goes and grabs his laptop, sticks it in his shorts, and runs off. Takes off. I see this. Yeah, I'm heartbroken. But I'm like, do I go out and scrap? I'm kind of like 3 or 4 weeks late on my rent. You know, it's my first day at work. So I run over to the police. You know, Johnny Lawman, how you doing? What's happening? Johnny Lawman say, that's not my issue. That ain't your issue. It wasn't your property. We can't do nothing about that. I'm like, dude, them going up the way right now, we can still catch dude. It's not the first time I had some issues with five dudes like that either. These are all obstacles we face here in Dallas, whether we homeless or we housed, you know. So I wanted to kind of talk about that. We're going to come up out of that. Pick on Antoinette some. Nah. So Antoinette, the role that Jasmine currently holds, are you going to be fully responsible for taking on that role?
I don't even think that those are shoes I'd be able to fill, Rashad.
You're right.
Not to mention, I don't have that lovely super master's in library sciences, so I'm way underqualified for that one.
But what you do have is a job program coming up, right?
Absolutely.
What you got going on? What's going on here?
Well, with our job program, it's actually going to help a lot of our customers who have found themselves employed and are looking to fill the next steps. So it's going to teach them how to behave on a job, how to dress, how to address their superiors and things of that nature so that they're a little bit better prepared for that next step in life.
So the library is going to keep trucking.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're here 24/7. Well, not 24/7.
No. The help desk is only here from 10 to 4 Monday through Friday.
Please don't come at 2 a.m. So
duly noted.
I'm at home and no one's going to call me.
Great, though. That's good. So I'm grateful for the opportunity, again, to be the host here at the Dallas Public Library, man. And I've seen a lot and I'm grateful. Like I said, my thoughts are scattered at the moment because I got, you know, we really didn't have this in mind to end the podcast. But we hope that the listeners have gained some type of substance or gift from it. What did you guys want for the listeners to
grasp? I will say I was at a happy hour last night that D Magazine hosted.
Okay, D Magazine.
And it was a panel. It was a happy hour with an agenda talking about homelessness.
Okay.
And it was a panel that included Councilman Philip Kingston, as well as Larry James, who we've had on the show with the CEO of City Square, and Cindy Crane, the president and CEO of Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance, and then a gentleman whose name escapes me with Metro Care Services.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm in a room full of lots of hipsters, most of whom I can only assume work for D Magazine, but I'm always amazed by the events. It's great to have a conversation. Krista Nightingale, moderated the panel, and she's been really passionate about the issue and making sure people continue to talk about the issues out, you know, even when the media is not covering it. But it always amazes me that these issues can feel new to people, mm-hmm. because it's new to them. Tent City, not, you know, the idea of a tent city is not new to Dallas. It's not new to homelessness. People create encampments with large groups of people all over. They still do. And yet the media and, you know, certain people with loud voices make a big deal about it. And all of a sudden it draws people's attention. But all of this just reminded me that the people in that room, the people who care, the people who don't know that they care yet, that they need more perspectives. Because even listening to that panel, it seemed very one-sided. It wasn't there. The gentleman from MetroCare Services did say that he was a former resident of the bridge, mm-hmm. but he didn't really talk much from that perspective. And I knew that the majority of the people in the room had never really had a meaningful encounter with someone experiencing homelessness. And I thought, wow, I really should have just stood up and been like, if you want to hear more perspectives and certainly more diverse perspectives, listen to Street View Podcast. But I remember starting out, one of the best parts about this podcast is that it's evergreen. Mm-hmm. And that's a term used in journalism, something that's not married to a time or year, because these issues, unfortunately, will still be around if and when I decide to come back to the library. they're not going anywhere. They're not. I mean, I hope that, you know, I do believe with Cindy Crane, working with Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance, that things will get better in terms of coordinated efforts. Mm-hmm. But the biggest issues that are creating homelessness are actually getting worse, like affordable housing and rising costs of living.
Yeah.
So the projections are that homelessness will increase. They're going to increase. And so the issues will still be around, but people will certainly benefit from listening to these episodes, certainly benefit from hearing different perspectives. You know, Charlie Piano, who's been on our show a couple of times, he just got housing. He's in an apartment now. And Cindy mentioned that, and she was, you know, really excited for him. And I knew that, you know, his story really has been well shared through the podcast.
Yeah.
And you know, I haven't seen him lately, but he's got a house now. Well, he didn't need us anymore.
I ran into a dude on one of these rainy days, and he was telling me that was the day he needed to go see the people about the housing. So, but he was a little downcast, you know, his heart was heavy, and I was like, what's going on? And he couldn't, it's funny, the way the mind works, you're used to doing something, so you want to do it. So I was like, yo, I realized, I said, you know what, you finna go into another situation and another circumstance. You're graduating from your previous circumstance. Mm-hmm. Now you have to prepare for it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting at the table, he was like, what do you mean? I was like, you know, when we started with the blankets, man, I was like, if I got you a machine, what would you need? Remember I asked you, if a thimble, what else would you need? And he was like, I said, man, you want to work with the small stuff. He was like, yeah, man, I'm getting my spot. I'm going to need ice trays. And I was like, wow. You know, I'm telling him with the write down. I'm like, man, you're going to need some cleanser, you're gonna need some toilet bags and some toilet paper. Because you're not thinking of these things when you're home.
Not at all.
No, not at all. Not at all, man. Toilet paper could go. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You need a lot of toilet paper.
But you guys might take it funny.
How much you're using until you paid for it.
Right. You really don't. You don't understand. Like you ain't folding sheets when you home. You folding sheets. You respecting this. You. And so Charlie's getting ready to make that step, man. But he was hot and mad because he was like, "Yo, other cats can do this stuff too." He was so hot. I was like, "Yo, what's up, Charlie?" He was like, "Man, these cats hating on me because they see me finna get out of my situation, my circumstance." And, you know, I had to sign the paperwork in front of them to show them that I wasn't BSing and I was about my business. And I was, and he's just like, man, I don't understand, man, why they hating. They could get out of the situation too. And I had to remind him. I said, Charlie, do you remember? I would come to the bridge and get on the mic every day because I was trying to make a way for them. Yeah, I was making a way for me, but I was trying to make a way for them. It wasn't really difficult. All you have to do is go up there and see Antoinette, right? And I told him, I said, man, but then how many people, when we do coffee and conversation, how many people, knowing they could go to Antoinette, actually ask Antoinette about a housing issue or something like that? Actually use the mind that's there. So, you know, when we get back, we'll have Antoinette answer that question. Thank y'all for listening to the Street View Podcast.
So, Antoinette, how many individuals who come to a coffee conversation or to an event you guys host actually talk to you about getting out of homelessness? On those deep intellectual levels, like those bonds, not necessarily intellectual, but in the sense that just really want to get out, and you can almost smell the desire to get out of homelessness.
One of the biggest shocks to me is how, regardless of what our conversation topic is for coffee and conversation, it's very rare that someone will actually come and talk to me after conversation or even within the week following. Usually no one that I've seen at coffee and conversation actually comes to talk to me to find out about how to get out of homelessness.
Yeah, I know.
To find out what I know about housing or how to use your Section 8 voucher or anything like that. And most of the time when they do come, it's at the very last minute. My voucher is going to expire tomorrow and I need to get this done now. And I'm like, at that time, it's too late.
Like me coming to see you after tax time to ask you about taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I would do that.
But, you know, I think that's one of the perks about coffee and conversation, if we really embrace it for what it is, which is that the library is offering a variety of ways for people to engage.
Yeah.
And so the people who feel comfortable engaging through coffee and conversation, that's what works for them. And so that may not be the same pool of people that come to the help desk. And that may not be the same pool of people that come and want to do games on Fridays. So it's okay, I think, if people don't go there. And I'm also a big believer that everyone's on their own timeline. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Charlie's been homeless a while. Mm-hmm. And surely along that path, he's had other opportunities for housing. And surely along various people's paths, even the gentleman that was on our folk music episode.
Wayne.
Yes, I knew it was the same name as someone else. You know, he had mentioned his chance for housing.
And he said we just wasn't ready.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and he wasn't ready. But now he is, and he's up again on the voucher list. So, you know, I think we have to learn as people from the outside to just be more open to other people's life circumstances, other people's life choices. My brother was addicted to heroin for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I know for the rest of us, it was really easy for us to want today to be that day that he got off. Mm-hmm. Or even when he was off periodically, you know, it was easy for us to be like, well, go get a job. Why are you still at home? Why are you still with mom? Why aren't you responsible? And, you know, it really took him 15 years, really, to get to where he is now, which is, you know, getting up every morning and actually going to work and enjoying his job and being consistent. 15 years. And as a family member, we were there to house him. We were there to support him.
Right.
So when you think about a guy on the street, you don't know where he is in his timeline. His timeline might be 15 years, and we might intercept him at year 5.
Right.
And, yeah, we think, oh, you need to get into housing. Right. Well, he's got other things going on and he's going to work at his own timeline. I think that's more common than people just not knowing about housing. Then there are people who want housing, and there really is a crisis in Dallas, as there is in many other large cities, that we do not have enough housing for the number of people who qualify for housing.
Yeah. Mm. After being closed for years, the Dallas Housing Authority's waiting list opened today.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, but absolutely. That's one of the biggest things that I have to stress to my help desk employee and our AmeriCorps members.
Yeah.
Even though we may see the path and it looks straight and direct, and this is exactly what you need to do to get from point A to point B, that may not necessarily be what our customers are looking for at that point.
Exactly.
And they have to find their own way and do it on their own time.
That was my point.
Just to sort of make this a little bit more of a more general point, I mean, everyone not only has their own timeline, everyone has their own pivot point. And I mean, it can be anything in life. I mean, you go down and down and down until you just make up your own mind and say, okay, I'm done with this. Mm-hmm. I'm making changes.
Rock bottom.
Exactly. Everybody calls it rock bottom, but necessarily rock bottom for me ain't the same as yours.
Right. And it could be more of like a rubber bottom because you can bounce off of it. Right?
Wow.
Bounce up.
Wow.
And some people have
resilience.
And some people have to reach up to touch but rock bottom. So
yeah,
some
exactly. Reach up. And I think about Adina. You know, Adina, she was on our last episode, mm-hmm. the Wonder Women episode.
Yes, y'all.
And she also talked about the various points in her life where she made different decisions with relationships and with children and and with employment and homelessness and this child. And I think about Nikki. Nikki is housed. Yeah. Nikki's made the decision to live with, you know, a family member and take care of her baby. And so sometimes, you know, it's really nice to see these women with their babies and them figuring out ways to take care of them despite their previous life decisions.
Circumstance situations, they happen. That's the point of what I was saying earlier about perspective. You know, everybody has one. Mm-hmm. You're given this. And then, you know, to be responsible for it is something different. A lot of people didn't know this. And Antoinette actually hit me to this. This is why I tell people to go talk to Antoinette. If you ever see me in the street and I tell you, hey, man, if you want to catch me, go to the library and ask for Antoinette. And Antoinette asked for me. You need to pick her brain. Because I sat there and I listened to her once and I thought about it. You know, I had got arrested some time back. And then I was declared legally incompetent to represent myself. And I thought about that. I was like, okay, so then that's a label and that's a stigma. I already got a couple of jackets I can't take off as it is. I'm a felon, you know, so I got, you know, my own issues to deal with. But then I saw something in the fabric of America and I'm just the public. You know, I graduated from homeless to being the public and I saw something I didn't like was the fact that if an individual is mentally incapable of representing themselves or being responsible for themselves, their vote doesn't count in certain states. Mm-hmm. And then I bragged to somebody else that I had gotten this tidbit of information. They thought I was lying. So I looked it up online. And when I looked it up online, it was several states where if you're labeled mentally incompetent or mentally ill, your vote doesn't count. Well, one of the things I learned was the hustle in Dallas was, yo, sell your brain for a bed. This is why I stayed homeless so long. Because this was the target for the homeless. It was, you know what? If you go to LifeNet or if you go to MetroCare or if you deal with somebody on some clinical medical issue, we're going to give you a bed. But what you don't know is that they're going to take your vote. And a lot of people don't know this. And I'm noticing it is more people than not that I know that who are in a situation or circumstance of being labeled as mentally something. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then, you know what I'm saying?
Well, on May 20th, we had a forum, our community forum on mental illness.
Right.
And there is an intersection of mental illness and people experiencing homelessness. There's also an intersection of mental illness and people who live in homes and houses.
Yes.
That came up last night too. And, it really is a matter of people with mental illness who aren't homeless have homes to hide away in, or have avenues for seeking out treatment if they want it. And the problem with homelessness is for LifeNet or for MetroCare Services or for a lot of housing, because MetroCare Services said that they had like $40 million to provide housing to people in their programs, to pay for housing for people in their programs. You know, but part of that is that a homeless individual must check a box. Mm-hmm. You have to check one of the boxes. It's almost like, you know, sort of the entryway into services is by fitting into a certain box. And not everyone either is ready to admit that they fit into a certain box or they don't fit into one of those boxes.
I talked about how long Charlie's been homeless. Charlie decided he would eat some pills. You know, I mean, to be honest, you know, sitting and I'm not going to lay under these highways and these byways. You know, and you gon', but at the same time, I'm not going to sell my brain so I could have a place to lay my head. And that's what I would tell people when I was dealing with the bridge. Like everybody would say, hey, you've been here forever, Slim. Why you ain't got your housing yet? They can't help me. They can't house me. Well, you know, why, man? Because I'm not finna eat them pills. I'm just not. Because I'm already fighting the stigma of mental illness because my vote might be my perspective. I now see the value of it. After coming through all that I've come through, you know, and now being cushy, laid up in my house playing my game, and then coming out here in these streets and having people call me and saying they need this. And my perspective, I see, like, I really see the issue of homelessness. But I'm the last guy you want to talk to. I'm the last guy you're going to come to for the answer to the problem. Larry James said this. He said, you know, if y'all really want a solution for homelessness, you might want to go talk to the homeless.
Exactly. 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 And that's why even the panels like last night, mm-hmm. it's like there's only so much perspective we're going to get from the people on this panel. And Larry James was one of them. And I admire him. And he is one of the first people to not only talk to people who are in poverty or experiencing homelessness, but remember them. Mm-hmm. He remembers everyone. And he's so kind and he's so sweet. But it's not common. It's not common for people, you know, who have an opinion about homelessness to actually go and talk to people about the, yeah, go and talk to people who are experiencing the problem to actually find the solution in them.
Yeah, LJ's pretty good. He's a good dude. He's a really good dude. I really love this guy. I'm reading his book right now, taking my time with it. I'm not an avid reader like some guys. I'm not.
You know, the other great thing about Larry James, and not to make this like the Larry James episode, but no matter what politician is in the room, no matter what the environment, he will stick to what he believes and he will stand by it and he will do it gracefully and with respect, but he will disagree with many, many people and stick to what he really believes, you know, about humanity and about treating people with respect and about friendship.
Well, that's one of the things I was talking about earlier with willpower, you know, so you got your own perspective. You got your own free will to speak as you will, see things the way you want to see them. But then what happens when your will intercedes or infringes upon another person's dominion? For instance, you know, we talk about it. We don't really talk about it openly, but it's slavery. You know, mm-hmm. the guy who's supplying for his wife and kids by using the cotton gin in order to, you know, supply for his family. You know, his willpower is in his mindset, maybe towards doing what's right. You know, he's not concerned with the guy who's getting hit with the whip. He's not concerned about that guy trying to provide for his family. He's just operating in his free will and in his perspective. And sometimes they infringe upon other people's. That's why we talked about manners, ethics, and values and morals on one of the podcasts. You know, when I say this is life, being able to bear one another's burdens, because it comes a point in time where we know what's right and what's not right, or we feel comfortable and uncomfortable about certain things. For instance, for me to bear your burden is one thing, but for me to not look after myself first is another thing. That's a conflicting idea that nobody really talks about in society. We never really address it. We always say you always got to take care of yourself first. Self-preservation is the first law of the land. Biblically, though, the first law of the land is to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. What's that mean? That means if I'm loving God and I'm loving my neighbor, then I am loving myself. That's for Christians. That's why I said some things were for Christians on this episode. But then for the individual who's not necessarily going to live their life by a book that's been written and now it's here and has been here for a long time, which I consider to be one of the oldest forms of knowledge, they're not going to live their life by somebody's book, because life is not written. History is written by the victors, right? Mm-hmm. So I've learned a lot about the Moors being able to transcribe all of the documentation coming from the Moors, them taking over Spain. We can go into all of that. We're not going that route. What I'm saying is this twofold thing we call life, where I got to take care of my brothers and I also need to be a good steward of over the things that I have. There's many biblical passages, you know, God bless the child that has his own. That means I need to have my own and I need to take care of what I got. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I'm trying to live this thing daily. And in the city of Dallas, you got a large homeless population. You got a lot of cash with a lot of money. I've been out there panhandling before. I ain't gonna lie. You know, way back when. And I showed up at the American Airlines Center and got $100 off one cat. So I know y'all got money out here. So, you know what I'm saying? So it's difficult to fathom. But I think we need to call attention to that issue, because I'm going to keep my dominion. I'm going to keep my perspective and I'm going to utilize it to the best of my ability. I'm going to try to help individuals. I'm going to do what I can. But I need to be able to supply what I need. Like I told y'all, I can't eat honey buns all day. Sometimes I need to eat a ramen soup. You know what I'm saying? So how do we do this?
Those are both very poor options.
Hey, listen, we're talking about homelessness. Oh, my goodness, Rashad. I know. But, you know, bread, it'll keep
How does your body, like, survive? Like, how do you function off of honey buns and ramen?
You know what, Jasmine? I'm shocked and amazed myself. It's got to be the Arizona tea.
But you realize that is not...
See, he keeps adding on different food stuff. It's not just honey buns.
See, that's not a, I don't think that's a result of your current like financial situation. Those are very specific choices you're making.
Yes, yes. Because they cost 50 cents a piece. Yes. Yeah.
don't forget the 7-Eleven pizza, though.
$5.
At least that has some protein in it.
That's a whole pizza.
And vegetables.
But, you know, when we...
Well, that's stretching on the vegetable part. Then,
I mean, think about that for me, though.
Or fruit, rather.
Think about that for me, though. I came from homelessness. I came from a situation where I was fed to somebody. Nobody not going to feed you, Slim. You're going to have to feed yourself today. And how do we train individuals to go from... where I was to where I am now.
You know, my dad mentioned that about his... My dad never likes to eat with alone. And for a brief time, he had a bit of a breakdown. We went to the ER. He had a big old meltdown. And they kept him in, like, the psych ward sort of thing. And he reminisces on his days there because... And he's an older guy. He's 63. Yeah. Not that old, but older, I guess.
Yeah.
He certainly acts older, but it feels older. Well. On his days there, because everything was taken care of for him.
Yeah.
He's like, when it was lunchtime, there was food. And if you wanted to get extra, if there was leftover, you could get it.
Right.
The ladies there were nice. They did your laundry. Like, they took care of him.
Right.
and it's like, and especially with rehab, whether it's for substance abuse or mental health, they put you in these like pristine environments where you're supposed to rehabilitate and get off of whatever, or, you know, get onto some meds to help you with your mental illness. And then they release you to being self-sufficient. It's not as cush. It's not as nice.
You run into a brick wall because nobody's doing all of that stuff for you.
And then so it's like, that really, is that helping or is it hurting that person more?
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing. When I started doing the foot soldier thing, I was like, this is the transition we need, because we can keep doing it the way we've been doing it and we'll keep getting the same result. And so, you know, I actually got sent to one of those cushy spots. I was actually sent from Dallas County, shot me out to this Montgomery County mental health treatment facility. And I got out there and it was like, you know, Dallas County was sticking me with a needle every day for 6 months. So when they finally sent me out there, I was like, listen, do I have to take medicine? It was like, no, you're a patient. You don't have to take medicine. I was like, okay, cool. Soon as they did that, I started writing. I started writing attorneys. Listen, man, these folks is trying to force me to take medication against my will. I was in one of those cushy spots. And the environment was so wishy-washy, because when you go in, there's a set of rules on the board. And this is the same set of rules you read. You know, and this is another... Rashida, I noticed a glitch. You know, the paperwork says number 12A. I'll never forget it. It says you can go outside unless otherwise directed by a doctor as far as your mental conditioning was concerned. So because I had never been directed by another doctor, I wasn't well enough to go outside and play basketball. I explained this to these individuals. Hey, listen, man, you said when I came here, I'm signing my rights. These are the rights that I have. Right here on the board says I have the right to go out and do what I want to do. I'm not trying to offend nobody. I just want a basketball, and I'm trying to go to the court, trying to bring some partners. And you know them people held me down and stuck me with a needle and sedated me? Real talk. Because I was what they considered to be inciting a riot, but I was informing the people. You feel me? So that's why I say perspective is key in a sense. I got some real cool partners amongst the homeless community. As a matter of fact, when I leave out the podcast, I'm going to catch one of them now. Their mindset isn't self-sufficiency, because a lot of them already been through the whole rat race. Mm-hmm. But do we respect them less because their mindset is not our mindset? Should our dominion just overcross their boundaries and say, this is not public space. You can't live here, or you can't stay here. You can't sleep here. You can't forage here. So, you know, that's my mindset. My mindset is to ask that question to the people. Just because I don't want to do what you're doing, are you going to step on my toes?
As long as you don't get in their way.
See what I'm saying?
People mind.
We'll be back with the Street View Podcast. How many individuals who've heard the podcast have heard about Tent City? That's a quick question for you to just keep in your mind for a second. Tent City, in my opinion, and I'm pretty sure everybody has their own opinion, but Tent City was kind of premeditated in a sense to me, only because the no panhandling rule went in effect, which pushed all of the homeless individuals up under this bridge. Once these homeless individuals got up under this bridge, they started killing each other. It got publicized. It started putting it on TV. And then, you know,
they wanted to push them out. Okay, the panhandling enforcement happened after Tent City was already in the news. So did the murders. That was way after Tent City was originally in the news. Tent City really got in the news because of some very, very vocal residents.
Yeah, you made me think of something. I ran into Lynn on the train not too long ago, and Solomon's Porch has been getting some slack from the residents in that area because they don't want them serving to the homeless communities. That's not cool.
No, you have some really key people in the downtown area who are making it their life's mission to spread out the problem outside of the downtown area very selfishly. They're not concerned about real solutions. Their only concern is getting it out of their neighborhood. You know, I understand that for the revitalization of the downtown area, having people experiencing homelessness on the sidewalk or on your streets could deter people from living downtown. However, New York, California, large states with very large urban areas have 50,000, 70,000 homeless individuals in their point in time count. Mm-hmm. We have 3,000, 5,000, something seven, between those two.
Something like that.
A fraction of what those cities have. And no one is saying, I'm not going to live in New York City. No one's saying, I'm not going to live in LA because of the homeless. So that's, I feel like that's just an excuse. I have a colleague who says downtown doesn't have a homeless people problem. It has a people problem. So when you don't have that many people downtown, but the few that you do see, you know, after work hours are homeless, then yeah, you think there's a bigger problem than there is. But, you know, it's not a problem that's just ours. It is a problem with many multifaceted solutions. There's got to be actual buy-in to want affordable housing in the area, that's want more housing. But I want to talk about Tent City in that we talked about it last night at this happy hour. And because people wanted Tent City dismantled and done with, you know, I want to say it was about a 6 to 8 month process. It was just May 4th that it was finally shut down. And all they did was get rid of the eyesore under I-45 because that encampment just spread out into multiple encampments in less visible areas with less vocal people. So Cindy Crane mentioned two of the largest encampments have 85 in one and 55 in the other. So we have not solved any problem other than a residential complaint about an eyesore in their neighborhood with no real solutions. And that's concerning because that's the time that it's that we hear about it in the news is about this Tent City thing. And the issue is not new and the solutions are not new.
Well, let's take a note from these individuals. I mean, that's public. I'm grateful to be public now. They open their mouth and they complain about the situation and the circumstance. They considered it to be better. I guess moving the eyesore, as you said, or put it. We got to learn to make those same type of complaints or fight for that same cause or open our mouth in the cause for the poor. Christian thing. We have to, because for one, you know, my thing is I've been charged with the ability to express what I feel or what someone else feels. I can express that for them. And that's my gift. That's one of my talents. And a lot of individuals who are in a homeless situation, they may not be educated. Maybe they are. Like I said, I've seen both sides to this whole dynamic, but I don't see them organized as a group yet. I see them being attacked and being attacked as if they are a group. And that's not acceptable, yo. Because all I ask you to do is put yourself over there. I was arguing with a friend some time back and one of my mentors said to me, man, put yourself in that person's shoes. Put yourself over there. You know, when we started, I remember asking Joe how she felt about the homeless individuals. And she was like, you know, I used to look away, but now she's in a sense like putting herself in our shoes. Mm-hmm. Hey, you guys sleeping out here in the library, man, just don't vandalize or break my building. You know?
Exactly.
Right. So I need you to be able to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. Now, like Frederick Douglass said, power concedes nothing without demand. So there's no one really to represent the homeless in a sense, but yet the homeless are being attacked as if it's one collegiate unit or one, you know, one unit. And if and there, I wish we could attack, you know.
There would be benefits, though, to the homeless feeling like a cohesive unit, because then they could have a voice. Right now, there isn't much individual voices happening for those experiencing homelessness. And then the voices that are people who work, you know, for the homeless and, and social services. And, you know, they just get criticized because they're, you know, like poor Cindy Crane has really gotten criticized for being a proponent of having restrooms, porta potties and dumpsters at Tent City to make it more sanitary and more humane.
Right.
And that is something that the media has really taken a hold of. That's something that other council members have really chastised her for. And yet it was fundamentally the correct thing to do. And in no way was that the reason more people went to Tent City. The reason more people went to Tent City was because the news covered it. And the news said that caseworkers were there prioritizing housing for people living there. Mm-hmm. So word gets out, as word does among the population, and more people were living there. And again, we can't find real solutions when we focus on problems that aren't problems. And place blame on people who know more. You know, like yesterday, they're talking about we need to look around the world and around the country about best practices. I guarantee you, City Square has done that. They have spent decades looking at best practices. Yeah. That's something that is the work they do on a daily basis. And all of a sudden, there's a panel with a room full of hipsters who think they have some new novel idea to think about putting all these best practices together.
Well, here's my thing. You know, it's systemic. It seems like all of the solutions that people are trying to find are based upon the system. And the same system is the system that put an individual in a position at the end. The thing I've always had in my head is, how can you change the world unless you don't compare yourself to it? Means if you back away from it, take a look at it, you can make a righteous observation and then interject some words of knowledge and wisdom. So I sit in my house and play my game. You know, because I've been on both sides of it. I've seen corruption on the side of the homeless. I've seen the individuals that you have these stigmas about, the individuals who actually don't want to do something with themselves, that just want your money and want you to get out of their face. I met them guys. You know what I mean? I've been in class with them guys. We drank coffee together. But I've also met the guys that say, man, I just want to do it right, but I just don't know which way to go. I don't know what to do. And I'm used to doing the things I'm used to. Charlie want to keep making blankets. He don't care about being in the house. He don't care about being up under the, you know, in the weather, long as it ain't raining steadily and messing up his blankets. He will be in the fourth floor of the Dallas Public Central Library making blankets. That's all he cares about. In the beginning, we talked about how you got to be responsible, you know, for the things, your riches, that's the ransom of your life. You have to be responsible for the things that you care about, that you want, that you need. And a lot of times, man, a lot of the cats that's been downcast and degenerates and kicked out from your social classes and you know, properly adjusted into society, a lot of them cats, man, they don't care to be consumed with being responsible for things, because things come to them. Like I was telling you about the Long Johns, they come. Things always come to us. But we have to realize, do we want to be responsible for them or not? You know, and then again, you was talking about Larry James and his perspective and how he's so dominant about portraying what he feels. That's great. That's why we do the podcast. That's why service providers provide services. But it systemic way, it's not going to work.
So this reminded me of a quote. It's one of my favorite quotes from The Art of Motorcycle Maintenance by Robert Pirsig, which is a really great book if you haven't read it. And so I was looking up this quote because it's about the system and it's about sort of revolutionizing the system and what's really needed to do that. So I'm going to read this quote real quick. The true system, the real system, is our present construction of a systematic thought itself, rationality itself. And if a factory is torn down, alludes to a factory prayer, down, but the rationality which produced it is left standing, then the rationality will simply produce another factory. If a revolution destroys a systematic government, but the systematic patterns of thought that produce the government are left intact, then those patterns will repeat themselves in the succeeding government. There's so much talk about the system and so little understanding.
Instantly, Wayne came to my head.
Exactly. You and know. I saw Wayne last night and I said, Wayne, why weren't you on the panel? And he said, this is happy hour with an agenda, a very clear agenda, an agenda I don't follow.
Right. I mean, Wayne says, yo, man, you know, we need to be the ones still out here. They're doing what's not systematic. What's, you know, why? Did, mm-hmm. Like he asked the question. He was asked the question by the newscast. Why are you doing this? Because you guys aren't. They're doing something that's not systematic. That's not going to continue to be the same way. That's not going to keep us going in the same direction. That's why I'm going to ask you, Antoinette. You've done a lot of service providing here in Dallas, Texas. You've seen a lot of individuals. You yourself at one point in time were homeless, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the best course of action to deal with the raging of society and their infringing upon the willpower of the willingly lazy, as well as the individuals who are ignorant to certain processes that we in society are, you know, efficient and effective in, like time management, like, you know, sense of responsibility? What should we do in order to remedy this situation, the gap, if you will?
I mean, honestly, Rashad, if I had the answer to that, I would be able to effectively eliminate homelessness.
Right.
But one of the biggest issues that I'm seeing and that is presenting itself is, and that's actually common between those who have caused the elimination of tent city mm-hmm. and those who are currently experiencing homelessness, is that they're both complaining. Both mm-hmm. sides are complaining. Mm-hmm. The people who were the most vocal as far as why tent city needs to be gone, they were complaining that it was there. Our customers who are experiencing homelessness right now are complaining because they're experiencing homelessness and all of these resources that should be available are not.
Mm-hmm.
But neither side is actually coming up with a solution.
Mm-hmm.
I encourage you to go and check out these other podcasts. Because we talk about a host of different things. We talk about individuals, like you said, complaining. We also talk about the resources that are available, the value of a resource, why individuals should take that into consideration when they're homeless. We've also talked about coming out of the situation of homelessness, resources of individuals who are ready, willing, and available to provide services. We have individuals who have done job placement, who have housing, who have laundry. Our Collins got the app. We got the movies popping over here. We got the guitar, the music. We got the piano. We've opened a host of resources for individuals. And I'm happy just to be able to say, I wanted the music program. Now there is a music program and there's a piano here.
Yes,
where you can just
the piano out.
You know what I mean? They whipped it out and they used to tell us don't touch that. Now we can go.
See, Rashad, you're talking about a lot of resources and you are self-proclaimed foot soldier who made it your mission to find out all these resources. And yes, Antoinette knows about a lot of those resources, but it's confusing for the average person who doesn't know about these things. They need help navigating the system.
Right.
It's paperwork. You need a computer to do things. You
right.
need a phone to be reached to get, you know, connected,
right.
you know, follow up. You need an app to find out where things are. You need access to all of that and you need someone to help navigate. And I think that's probably one of the best things that the library's been able to do through Antoinette, through her natural ability to help people connect to resources and to know about as many resources and her eagerness to know what's available
mm-hmm.
and to really help people with those. If that's all we did, I think I've said this before. I mean, I think that would be a huge accomplishment. But people need help navigating their way out of homelessness. Part of it is, you know, a shortage of housing. But the biggest thing is navigating the resources. And I know, I don't know if Antoinette knows the number now, but over the years, we've been able to track how many people we've interacted with who we now know are in housing. And I want to say the last time we checked, it was like 26 people that we've worked with, that we've helped them navigate their way out of homelessness, not just through navigating resources, but through meaningful relationships, through meaningful friendship, through those connections, through that consistency and stability. I'm all about housing, but what I believe is the real spirit of Housing First is stability.
Mm-hmm.
People need a foundation
mm-hmm.
and a house metaphorically and literally provides you with a foundation and with stability.
Right.
And it's once you are stable and you feel like this isn't going to leave, this isn't going to change, that you can start affecting change in the other variables in your lives. And so that stability we can't give them a house, but we can give them the library, and we can give them the stability of knowing Antoinette's going to be here, that the other people they've built relationships with mm-hmm. will be here. And I'm 100% positive that stability has helped others navigate their way out of homelessness and feel ready to deal with the other variables in their lives.
I think you gave me the word for the day, stability. I think that's an excellent word for the day, man. I think it makes a lot of sense. And I think if you have the opportunity to talk to Antoinette, if you don't know what to say, just tell her you're looking for some stability. And I'm sure she'd be willing, I'd be willing to help you guys, because that's the one thing I totally agree with Jazz. If we could do nothing else, if we could at least just greet these cats at the door and with a warm smile and just let them know we love them, mm-hmm. then we've beaten them. We've beaten the whole challenge.
Have you been here in the mornings?
I totally do that every morning with everybody.
I'm saying, but if that's all we could do.
And I'm often on the front desk on the first floor, so you can come around. I'm usually right over on the information side. Yes. So you can, if you need, and I'll probably point you over to the help desk if you need something specific. But right. Hey, I can help you find.
And what, I'm here too.
Well, you're floating around once in a while.
You might catch
I'm saying now. I mean, now what I'll be doing is I told folk, you know, I'm going to be up here learning this music. I'm also going to be learning some different things and doing some different things, but. You know, I kind of recently got off all of these social media sites. I'm here if anybody needs to talk. And I'll be here. I'll be getting the notifications about the Street View podcast. And we'll be ready, willing, and able to help individuals who need help or just want to talk. I'm sure, you know, even though this is our last podcast session.
Maybe we'll come back one day. But.
Yeah. Maybe.
Ryan's not letting this go yet.
We got one or two in the basement.
I'm sure if there's an outcry
for a revival on the website or in social media, yeah, certainly. Yeah. But yeah, we would need to hear from people and decide that was.
Y'all gonna make Jasmine come back to work.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's sign a petition. Yeah. Do you guys want to start a petition to get me to not quit?
Yeah.
I would totally not submit that. She deserves to be able
well, she
to.
Needs, she needs her time off with the little one. That's the main thing.
Well, you know, we a lot of people didn't pay attention to this, but Jasmine actually, you know, we watched Jasmine grow up too on the podcast. We watched Jasmine grow up because she didn't have the kid. Now she had the kid, and we was all sitting here and she took the pictures.
Now I'm a mom.
How old is Sammy now?
He's 11 months old.
Right.
And
that's
he is
been a year.
Adorable. I know every mom feels that way, but he's literally the cutest baby on the planet.
Except for mine.
It's life changing. I think we talked about that on the episode with Adina and Antoinette too. It's just motherhood is life changing. And I feel lucky to be, you know, we're right now at the verge of possibly having the first woman president and, you know, so feminists around the world and yes. Everyone is, you know, loving this. And I consider myself a feminist. I mentioned that in the last episode too. And, but I feel lucky that I have the choice because, you know, there are certain feminists like, what? Why would you stay at home? Why would you want to be at home? You should, you know, that this is something that women have worked hard to get is that women don't have to stay home. But right. But the thing we really got was the choice to decide.
Perspective.
And you're making the choice to do it.
Exactly.
So there what? You go.
That's what that is, man. I'm grateful for my choice of perspective because guess what I'm finna do? I'm finna close out our last podcast. So since our last episode, you guys have any parting thoughts? Anything that's rolling through your mind? Anything you want to let the people know? Any favorite episodes or, you know, anything that just stands out about the podcast or about what we're doing? Anybody?
For me, you know, especially having sat through, I mean, I do pipe in once in a while, but I have listened to every single thing. And I think, you know, and whether it's homelessness, which, you know, is the big topic we've had, but in general, you know, not to forget the humanity of your fellow person. I mean, and again, that can come into play a lot with homeless population that we can kind of marginalize them. But even just in your dealings, you know, with other people, with how you treat people, you know, because it's easy to treat people like objects sometimes, even our friends and family. And so just don't forget the humanity of other people, I guess would be my final thought.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Antoinette?
Well, one of the biggest things that I feel like I've gained from listening and participating in the podcast was a sense of humility and compassion. And I'm hoping that that's one of the things that people who are listening to the podcast can take away from this as well. I really like the way that we got people who were service providers paired with someone who may have been actually receiving their services and gave them an opportunity to really just toss the ball around and see what it was like on both sides of the desk. And that's something that I'm really hoping that everyone gained from this experience.
Yo, it's bittersweet for me. Because, I mean, there's so much, yo. I like the opportunity to be able to drop jewels every time I get to the mic, yo. I try to leave something. You know, DMA had an exhibit called Leave More Than You Can Take, where we would go and do buttons. You would design your own button, and you would post it on the wall. Then you get to take somebody else's button. And so I try to leave something every time I hit the mic. And that's been the best part for me, is that my word means something. You say it's easy to see people as objects for a long time. I've been an object, you know. Like people say, nobody wants to take care of somebody else's kid. My mom's is gone. My father is gone. So in a sense, I'm really, when I look at somebody or when I talk to somebody, I look at that person and I say, I'm the reason you can't fail, you know. Because I didn't have a mom. I didn't have a pop. I didn't have a guidance. I didn't have much direction outside of the fact that I wanted to make my friends and the people that are around me happy. It's a people pleaser in a sense. And it got me into trouble time and time again. And so the podcast is where I could actually be vulnerable and I get to be myself. This is the one time I get to be me, because me having a conversation with somebody, your mindset, you know, you sporadic. You ain't even on the same planet. The best thing about the podcast is that I can freely give the one thing I know that I have plenty of, which is, you know, talk. What about you, Jasmine? There's a lot of episodes. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of struggle. I remember you calling this a labor of love.
I think of all the projects I'm going to leave behind, this will be the biggest, the hardest to accept, because this has been the manifestation of everything I've worked towards. Yeah. I mean, I feel like this is something completely out of my comfort zone. I think more or less all of our comfort zones, except for Ryan, since he does this, you know, on the weekends, more or less. It represents so much to me. It represents the idea that if you have an idea, you can make it happen. It represents the idea of listening to your friends, listening to your colleagues, knowing their skills, knowing their interests, knowing their abilities, believing in people, giving them an opportunity, and letting them blow you away, and things can happen, and you don't have to spend a year planning something. You can just jump into it. You can jump into it and make it successful and have it listened to over 13,000 times in 18 countries in more than 62 U.S. cities.
Yeah.
I mean, what?
Right.
What?
Right.
But, you know, to me, it wasn't that we had some magic wand to make it happen. I think it really came from paying attention, from listening, and from believing in other people and creating an awesome team and going with it and having something of substance, something authentic, something really genuine. Not, you know, yes, we set out with a goal for this, you know, to make sure to represent. We wanted to represent people and voices and give people a voice.
Right.
But our goal was not to be listened to in multiple countries or cities across the country.
No.
I think about something that I think I've probably said on the podcast before, and it's that I may not know your struggle, but I know struggle.
Yeah.
And I hope that people will listen to this podcast series, and they may not be able to really empathize with the stories that they've heard, but they certainly, every single person in this world has had something they've struggled with. So I encourage people to connect with other people, not based on a similar struggle, but just on having had to struggle and knowing what that feels like, and knowing that if that's what it felt like for you in that circumstance, that struggle would be similar for someone else in a different circumstance. I'll say one thing too, that there's a quote, another quote. Today's my, my quote day.
Okay. You came up with the word of the day too.
There's a quote that I thought of a few years ago that I read, and I thought, that's it. That's what I want to do. It's, do not go where the path may lead. Go instead where there is no path and leave a trail. That's Ralph Waldo Emerson. I feel very proud of the trail that I have left. So.
You're right, though. You're right. When I think about that, I really think about how you gave me an opportunity. It was not certified. I didn't have somebody's paperwork. None of that. Just came in and she said, you know what? I see something in you. this is what we're going with. This is the route we're going to go. I took on to it. I followed, and it's been a pleasurable experience. I thank y'all for listening to the Street View podcast. Y'all stay tuned. Y'all hit us back up, and we'll be ready, willing, and able to help as best we can. Let's pray out. Father God in heaven, thank you for life. Thank you for today. Thank you for tomorrow. Thank you for yesterday. Thank you for the second. Thank you for the decibel of time in which we breathe. We appreciate all of it. Now that we come together and we've set out to do something, we've come to the end of our journey. We're grateful for the journey. We're grateful for the result of the journey. And we thank you. We thank you for everything. We hope that you bless us all the hands that have anything to do with this, have anything to do with you. So bless yourself too, Pop. Thank you. Thank you for life. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Street View. You can visit us online at streetviewpodcast.com. Tune us in again next time for more discussion.